Well, turn with me today to Hebrews chapter 4. I believe I've got an encouraging word for you today. And, you know, sometimes when we go through, whether they be symbolic storms in our lives or whether they be a real storm, you know, it can cause anxiety, it can cause fear to try to grip us. And, you know, we have read in 2 Timothy for the last several weeks that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. In other words, self-control, that our thoughts don't run wild, our emotions don't run wild, but instead they are self-controlled. They are regulated by the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And so we want to feed our spirit, man. We want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not your own might. And so as we approach a literal storm, and perhaps you are going through maybe a figurative or a symbolic storm in your life, I want to just encourage you that God has a word for you. And if in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to read in verse 15. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. And the word of God tells us in Hebrews 4 and verse 15. And the reason why I'm repeating it so much is because I want to make sure everybody gets it. It says this in Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all things or in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we can come boldly. So as I began to think about this idea of a literal storm that is hitting the New England and the Northeast at the moment, and I'm looking outside right now in where I am, and it's barely a breeze, and it's just overcast. And I know that there are others that might be experiencing more dramatic weather. And as I think about it, though, growing up in South Florida, living through several hurricanes and tropical storms, many of which, thankfully, were not majorly devastating, but also seeing the power and the devastation caused by really bad storms, such as Hurricane Andrew. And reflecting on, you know, growing up in that environment, you know, as soon as somebody says there's a hurricane out there, you know, everybody runs to Home Depot and buys plywood, and they go to the store and they buy water. Much like when a snowstorm comes up here, everybody's got to go get the bread and milk. I think there's something about our human nature that we feel like we need to be in control over something. And so what do? We run out and we try to grab something that we can control. You know, go buy all the plywood that Home Depot has, or grab all the water that a store can offer. And the truth of the matter is in our society, in our culture, thankfully in this nation, we typically are not without essentials for very long. You know, we have developed to a degree as a nation that we're not impoverished, and we might, you know, we're not gonna be without food for weeks on end, but instead, you know, we might have some inconveniences, usually at best. So right now, there are some parts of our country that are in a little bit more severe way. I'm thinking of those in North Carolina with the floodings. And also, I'm also thinking about in some other parts of the world. I'm thinking about Afghanistan, and I'm thinking about some of these places where there are other reasons for the trauma that people are going through. But getting back to our subject of, you know, when a storm comes, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? Well, today I want to talk to you about getting a grip. Getting a grip. So if you're taking notes, get a grip. So when a storm is getting ready to come to your life, or maybe it one took you by surprise, let's get a grip. So I want you just to say that out loud together. I know I can't hear you, but just say, get a grip. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself. The Bible tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, sometimes you need to encourage yourself. You need to say things like, self, get a grip, get a grip. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So one of the first things that comes to us is this anxiety, this fear, the what if, the worry. You know, it's been said that fear is false expectations appearing real. And our body doesn't know the difference between, between something that's real and something that's not. And that's where sometimes fear and anxiety and worry can take hold of us. But remember, God has not given us that spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We need to get a grip. Now, that scripture that I'm quoting comes from 2 Timothy, and we've been hanging out in 2 Timothy. And so I just want to reiterate that it does come from 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll go ahead and turn there real quick. Turn there real quick because I want you to see it. I want you to see it in black and white. Kind of helpful. Here we go. 2 Timothy. Should have had it marked, and I didn't, so appreciate your help. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, or of self-control. Now back to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews, you know, we need to come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain what? Mercy, and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, having a need, there's nothing wrong with having a need. Sometimes we have needs. I know we faith people, sometimes we act like to admit that you have a need, or to admit that maybe you're a little fearful about something is somehow wrong. Listen, I remember Reverend Kenneth Hagin saying this. He used to say, you can have fear up here, but faith down here. You could have fear up here, but faith down here. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Joyce Meyer puts it this way, that sometimes you just need to do it afraid. You know, whatever's going on, fear will paralyze you. And we don't want to be paralyzed, but instead it should drive us to the throne of grace. Now, notice what it said there. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, met us. It says, let us hold fast to our confession. Verse 15 was our key verse. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So in this lesson of getting a grip, all right, getting a grip, telling yourself, get a grip on fear. Don't let fear consume you. And if you find yourself full of anxiety and fear just because of the pandemic, because of the Delta variant and the virus, because of the storm, because of the economics, because of the political situation, the world situation, regardless of what you find yourself that seems to be a trigger point, don't allow fear to paralyze you, but instead get a grip. Get a grip on God's hope. Get a grip on the hope. First of all, God gets you. He gets you. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like. You say, what do you mean? We just read it. Jesus, felt what we have felt before. In other words, he gets you. God gets you. He understands those fears, those emotional turmoils. I'm not saying that he gave in to them. He didn't. And we know that. We know that. But Jesus became one of us. Philippians chapter 2 talks about it. That he who was in the very form of God became one of us in the likeness of us. He understands. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that he can sympathize. In other words, God's got you. First of all, get a grip. God's got you. He knows what it's like to feel worry and anxiety and fear. He knows what that feeling is like. He never gave in to it, but he knows what that feeling is like. He is not unable to sympathize with what we're going through. Jesus took our punishment and went through life feeling what you and I feel. So nothing that you have ever experienced in your life, God understands it through his son Jesus. Nothing is beyond him. Nothing. Because the word says he is not unable to sympathize. He gets you. He's been there. God has been there. You know, that stunning idea is this, is that, you know, for a time, God became one of us. He became one of us. And you might say, well, does this promise really matter? If you ever wonder if God listens, let me tell you something. He listens. He cares. You know, he really cares. And, you know, Jesus is able to understand all of our weaknesses. He's able to understand everything that you've gone through. You know somebody right now while we're watching it might need to hear this message. Please share this, like this, let them know that there is a God of hope who's got them. They need to get a grip. Get a grip, right? And that's, we're not saying it in a really bad or mean way. We're saying just get a grip. Get a grip. Because what does a grip do? It helps you get a handle, so to speak, on what's going on. The second thing I want to tell you, not only do we need to get a grip, but we need to get that grip through prayer. You know, overcoming despair, how do you do that? With prayer. That's how you do it. You overcome despair with prayer. Overcome despair with prayer. When life overwhelms, we have to pray to the one who knows what's going on, you know, and we have to pray his promises because his promises are true. You can stand on his word. It's great to have Marcia joining us this morning. And, you know, James 5:16 says this, and in fact, let's go there. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James 5 and 16. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. So get a grip in prayer. Get a grip in a righteous prayer, knowing who you are in Christ. And despite the circumstances, despite what you're going through, you can stand, square your shoulders a bit. We've been talking about this because we've been taking a little jog through 2 Timothy through the lens of grace and truth. And we have said this, that grace is God's power, his passion, his ability, doing inside of you what you can't do yourself. There's so much we can't do ourselves. Without him, I can do nothing. Nothing of any value. And so this morning, get a grip. Get a grip in prayer. Get a grip in prayer because your prayer will accomplish great things when you pray in faith. Get a grip in prayer. Get a grip in how you pray. You know, when you quit praying the problem and start praying the answer, that's what we have to do. So many times, I think we as Christians slip into this religious sounding prayer that just is just whining to God. It's just complaining to God instead of looking to God for His promise, His peace, His hope. Get a grip on hope. Hope is not going to disappoint you. Let hope bubble up on the inside. It's going to help you combat the fear that's all around you. It's going to help you combat the worry, the anxiety. The grace of God's going to kick in on your behalf, and you're going to have everything you need to get you through that storm. You see, storms don't last forever. God's promises last forever. So you can hang on to the promise of God. Hang on to that promise. Find what God's word says and stand on it. Stand on it. We're there in Hebrews 4, and one of my favorite verses, I quote it often, but you can go ahead and look at it right now, Ephesians 4. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and of a is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is going to give you great hope. Get a grip on hope. Get a grip, you know, on prayer. Get a grip on His word, because it will help sustain you in a very difficult time. It will help you to overcome when you are in the middle of a really tight situation. You know, it will be an anchor to your soul. The Word of God will be that anchor that you and I need to hang on. To hang on, the Word of God will give you an anchor for your soul, an anchor for whatever it is that you are dealing with in your life right now. And I know some of you are going through all kinds of different storms. It doesn't have to be a literal storm. You know, for some of you, like me right now, I'm looking outside and there's really not much going on yet. They are talking about rain and wind and those kind of things and flooding. And out of precaution, we did suspend our meeting in-person service. But maybe we're here and nothing ever does happen, but you could still be going through a storm. You could still be going through an emotional storm. You could be going through a health crisis, a health storm. You know, Jesus is right there. He understands everything that you've been going through. Get a grip. Get a grip on hope. Get a grip on prayer, because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. It's powerful. It's effective. So you can make it through those situations. Get a grip on His word. You know, get a grip on His word. When you get a grip on His word, think about this. The word of God is referred to as a sword. You have to actually wield a sword. You have to pick the sword up. You have to actually hang on to that sword. You know, earlier I just said that the word of God is a lot like an anchor. It's an anchor for your soul. You know, find that word that you're standing on. Find that word and just grab a hold of it. Write it down on cards, if you will. Write it down, paste it all over your house if you need to. You know, several years ago, I had gone away on a retreat, and I came back, and we had had a flood in our basement, and it was rather upsetting to my wife at the time, and she was really upset. But I came home to scriptures pasted all over the house. I seriously mean that. There were sticky notes everywhere. I looked to the Lord. You know, I looked to the hills, and I looked to the Lord, where my help comes from. And And I had come home and missed out on some of the issues that she had to deal with. And there was, but she had scripture verses, I mean, taped everywhere. You know, sometimes we need to do some extreme things that seem extreme, maybe to the average Christian. They seem a little bit extreme, but they kind of help keep us focused. They anchor us. You know, when I was a kid, I was about 13. We had gone on a family vacation to the Bahama Islands. And we had relatives and family over there from the Bahama Islands in the Abacos, to be more specific. And one of the most cool vacations I ever remember, it's great to have Navi Jayadas watching today as well. And so we greet you, Navi, in the name of the Lord. And one of the things that that was really cool was we took a little mini cruise. Now, I don't mean a cruise like in a cruise ship, okay? I mean a camping, I mean a really unique kind of situation, a boating excursion for 7 days from one end of the Abacos to the northern end of the Abacos and back. And we had two larger boats that family members owned that we would sleep on. We pulled two smaller boats with us to get ashore so that we could anchor in good anchoring spots during the night and even during the day when we were out fishing and spear fishing and diving for conch and lobster. And I mean, just an amazing summer vacation. Not without discomfort, not without, heat, uncomfortable evenings, mosquito bites, barracudas and sharks in the water. I mean, we had it all. One night in particular, I remember sleeping in the cabin, and I awoke to a ruckus above on the deck. And what was happening was the anchor of the boat that we were in had broken free. A storm had come up, a thunderstorm with a lot of high winds, and there was a lot of commotion. People were on deck screaming. They were trying to get the anchor thrown overboard without losing a person. The wind was whipping. The rain was driving. And, you know, it was dark, and there were absolutely no lights where we were, because we were in an area of uninhabited islands. We were headed for the rocks, and I can just remember family members and my dad out on the deck. People were screaming, not screaming in terror, but screaming directions out through the storm, what was going to happen, and that we had got to get the anchor out. We've got to get that anchor set. And that was the thing. Get the anchor set. Because if we could get the anchor set, we would be safe. And that's a word for some of you. Get your anchor set. Get a grip and resist fear, because God has not given you a spirit of fear. Get a grip in prayer, because the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Get a grip on hope, because hope is an anchor for your soul, that when things go wrong, you will have hope, because we serve the God of all hope. Amen. And I just want to encourage you today. It's the Word of God. Get a grip on the Word of God, because that will produce a hope on the inside. And then, you know, this one is also important. Romans chapter 8. Get a grip on the fact that, man, I'll tell you, we just got to read our Bible more. And we've got to not just read it, but let it read us. Because when you let the Word of God read you, lots of things, good things happen. Because you'll make adjustments in your life. Your faith level will begin to rise. And I believe that you will experience great, great victory. In Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, it says this. Here we go. Romans 8:34. Romans 8 and 34, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or plenty, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Get a grip on Jesus' victory. See, in the middle of those situations that you are going through, get a grip on his victory. Get a grip on the fact that Jesus died for you, he loves you, and you've been made more than a conqueror. And then the other thing I just want to encourage you is get a grip on each other. Stick with each other. You know, don't let things divide you. I said last week, you know, right now, church attendance by and large, whether online or in person, has really, really suffered dramatically when it comes to the pandemic. It was already nationwide on the downhill slide as far as church attendance, people having an affiliation with faith, being connected in a community of faith. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Both good and bad, not good, but bad, really, because we need each other. Get a grip on each other. Hold tight to each other. Check in with each other. Find out what each other in the body of Christ needs. Can I pray for you? How can I help you? Be praying for your brothers and sisters. I believe that that will be a blessing. So today, I just wanted to tell you that we all just need to take a big, deep breath and get a grip. Get a grip on the fact that Jesus loves us. He's not given us a spirit of fear. Get a grip on the Word of God. It will produce hope in your life. Get a grip in prayer, because when you get a grip in prayer, it will anchor your soul. And just like that memory that I have, of being a kid on that boat that was floundering and getting ready to crash on the rocks, when you set your anchor in the Word of God by faith, it will bring stability and great peace. I can remember once that anchor got set and the anchor held and the storm passed, we as a family rejoiced that we were safe, we were okay, that God and the working of the family making sure that we were anchored paid off. And it will pay off for you spiritually when you anchor yourself to God's word. So today, that was my encouraging word for you. I want to let you know that if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, you can do so. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm talking about a real relationship with God Almighty, his Son, Jesus. And all you have to do is believe in your heart, according to Romans 10:9-10, and confess him with your mouth. And the Bible says you shall be saved. You see, salvation is not in church membership. It's not in somebody else telling you you're okay, you're not okay. It has to do with a personal relationship with Jesus. And so I really want to encourage you, if you would like to do that, you want somebody to pray with you individually, you can message me. I'd be happy to pray with you over the phone or even through Facebook Messenger. We can connect. You can go ahead and you can reach out. It's great to have my mom watching. It's great to have Rich Birdsall watching today. You guys have been awesome. Thank you for hanging with me during the storm. I hear the wind starting to whip up where I am, but I still have internet and we're still here. Reach out. We'd love to pray with you individually and be a blessing to you and send you some things. Don't forget, if you'd like to give today, you can give at westchesterfamilychurch.org. You can give electronically or the old-fashioned way. Also, be praying about our outreach at September Fest and also October 31st for the harvest party that is coming. And get yourself a little ukulele. I think it'll be a blessing. We're gonna hear a lot of ukuleles. And when we hear them singing unto thee, O Lord, when we hear them singing, don't worry, be happy, it's going to be a lot of fun. Don't miss it. September the 18th, mark your calendar. Come, get a little ukulele like this. Again, they're not very expensive, right around $50. And Reverend Ennis can send you the link for that. And if you have a young person, remember the second and fourth Sunday mornings, we have class for young people, children and youth, and we are believing God to grow and be the light and be the force that God has called us to be in Mount Kisco. So anyway, stay safe, and we're going to go ahead, and because we typically, when we are live and in person, we actually use Psalm 121. So we're going to go ahead and go to Psalm 121. All right. Psalm 121. Most of you know this by heart, but I believe that it will be a blessing just to say it out loud. Hallelujah. All right. Psalm 121. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. So wherever you are today, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. That means your mind, will, and emotions. He'll preserve your soul even in the middle when you can be afraid up here, but in faith down here. And the Lord shall preserve your going out, hallelujah, and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God's promise to you.